This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
We're leading with a volatile stock market. I'm David Brancaccio. Stock futures are pointing lower this morning, especially for the NASDAQ, which has a concentration of stocks of technology companies. The index yesterday fell 2.5%, the biggest drop since September. Investors were dumping some of the stars, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Tesla. For more on the mood change, here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Just a few days ago, headlines were anticipating Apple becoming the first company in the world to be valued at $3 trillion. Today, Apple is nearly $200 billion shy of that threshold. So what happened? The stock market is about the future, and Federal Reserve policymakers said interest rates will go up in the near future, as in next year. That means borrowing will become more expensive, and that tends to affect companies that are worth huge sums. Investors may no longer want to bet on that company being able to justify such valuations in the future if its borrowing costs are higher and profits potentially lower. And so shares of Apple, Tesla, and other big tech names have lost ground. For the year, though, they've still done quite well. The tech-heavy NASDAQ is up almost 20%. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Consumers could benefit if higher interest rates work and keep down inflation, but they do raise the cost of borrowing for not just companies, but humans. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
The rate hikes would likely affect certain types of loans first, says Myra Rodriguez-Valladares at MRV Associates.
Consumer loans and credit cards are incredibly sensitive to interest rates. And so immediately consumers will feel it there.
Interest rates on long-term government bonds could also rise, says Nate Tobik at Complete Bank Data. That's likely to affect the cost of mortgages, home equity lines of credit, commercial loans.
As treasuries go up or down, all of those loans and benchmark rates that are tied to those treasury rates are also going to adjust.
That said, interest rates might not rise that much. Tobik says banks are flush with cash right now. People's savings have grown during the pandemic, and loan demand has fallen. As a result, he says banks might want to keep their interest rates competitive.
Any cash being lent is better than cash just sitting on the balance sheet.
And because banks have all that cash, Tobik says they aren't likely to raise rates they pay for savings accounts by much. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
We follow the energy industry on this program, including the transition to cleaner energy. A judge in Maine ruled this week to keep a New England power project on hold. This is about a proposed transmission line running through Maine that would bring renewable hydropower from the Canadian province of Quebec into Massachusetts. Supporters say the line could help New England avoid the kind of power blackouts that hit Texas last winter and help with climate change. But after Mainers voted against the project in a referendum last month, construction has stopped, Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports.
The transmission line project called New England Clean Energy Connect has a lot of support from environmentalists like Lincoln Jeffers.
As we are trying to transition to a clean energy economy, I think it is absolutely essential that we embrace hydro.
Jeffers is also the Economic and Community Development Director for Lewiston, Maine's second largest city. Also, he says, the line isn't a new idea. The provincially owned power company Hydro-Québec has been providing energy to New England for decades and spent years clearing regulatory hurdles for this project.
They went through the public gauntlet, and in my mind, reason should have prevailed.
But despite support from U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm and others, Mainers voted against the line in November, as opponents, who also consider themselves environmentalists, argued it would cut through state forests. Todd Toll is a local fly fishing guide who opposed the project.
It's not fair for people in the state of Maine to be the power cord for Massachusetts.
Opponents said the transmission line would harm the environment, and Toll said he also had concerns about depending on foreign entities for energy.
As friendly as Canada is to us, and we've had a great relationship with them, do we really want our power coming from another country?
Every time we'd speak, someone would say, you're lying, you're foreigners.
That's Serge Abergel, the chief operating officer of Hydro-Québec Energy Services. He claims the opposition to the project is largely funded by American natural gas producers, Calpine, Vistra Energy, and NextEra, which already serve the area.
They don't want to lose that market share. And this is not something unique to New England. It's something that's happening in many places in the country.
As of airtime, none of those natural gas producers responded to Marketplace's request for comment. Project developers have vowed to keep fighting for the $1 billion project, even as the voter-approved law blocking it takes effect this weekend. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
And on the organized labor beat this morning, we told you how union members at Kellogg's had rejected a tentative contract worked out between management and union negotiators that would have ended an ongoing strike. Kellogg's then said it would hire replacements, but now there's word of a fresh tentative agreement the workers will vote on soon. 1,400 workers at cereal plants remain off the job amid a dispute over pay, benefits, and the way those hired in recent years got less. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jay Siebold, Jessen Dueler, and Jake Cherry. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.